Tough one for the boys on the short week Friday night game versus UCLA. They drop it 20-17 against the Bruins. What went wrong? Why did the defense look like it took a back step to the Michigan State game? How do you dominate against Wisconsin in the run game and against the run game and then come out and look like that? What happened with the quarterback situation and where are we left as we head into the bye week? Is Jay Higgins okay? And a lot more questions to be answered. Let's have a day. Let's go.
I'd be pressed to find a Cowboys fan walking into Jerry World today thinking that they're going to the playoffs this year.
Well, preseason's different.
Preseason, it's their year.
This is what I'm saying. It's like, you know, February 28th or whatever is rolls around, and they're going to be like, oh, we got the best team in America. We're America's team. America's team's back this year, baby.
Yeah, but I mean, if we're doing the comparison, like there's – I guarantee you there are, if you go to maybe, I don't know, like what's a rule, like somewhere in like rural Arkansas, there are people that think if the Razorbacks went out, they can make the playoffs still.
I wouldn't tarnish the good people of Arkansas like that. The Cowboys got to be one of the top five worst fan bases in all sports.
Top five worst. Well, the issue is that Cowboys fans, you say like top five worst, it's like they're like the Power Rangers where they morph together like the Warriors, the Yankees, whoever's good in like the Premier League at any given time, like all of them morph together for that.
You call women's basketball.
Well, men's basketball probably too at this point. Back-to-back championships. Like it's just whatever. I don't know.
It's good to have you guys here.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Is it? You know?
Yeah, I mean, could be under better circumstances.
I suppose we got an extra day to just like let you know to get away from it. Recording this on our normal Sunday slot. Obviously, we had the Friday night game 2 days ago. And, you know, similar to the Michigan State podcast, told the boys before we started recording this, actually in the text message earlier. I was like, you know, I'm looking for a short episode tonight. We talked about it last time. And I actually started to feel more and more I am understanding the fans' perspective on not wanting to come to a Monday podcast and listen to the game that they just lost. Grant and I had a secret Watch Up Walk-Ons meeting last week. Kevin wasn't involved. And we kind of talked about this sentiment of like, yeah, when you're, you know, you put your heart into something and you don't really want to actively voluntarily put yourself through it again in podcast form. You'd like to just move on. So in a way, maybe after losses, we should just go right to like
preview.
Insert preview episode or like a guest episode or something. So we're going to try and keep this short. I don't know if there's a ton to say. Very weird game. I think this game for me was there's one every year where on this podcast, we come to do the recap episode and I'm like, yeah, it's just hard to win. It's just really hard to consistently win. And I feel like this is that one for me. You know, there's four teams left after this weekend, I believe. And I could be wrong, but I believe I saw the graphic. There's four remaining undefeated teams left in college football. And I believe it's BYU.
Army.
Oregon. And there's one more? Maybe there isn't. Maybe it's just three.
I think it's just three.
And so that right there goes to show you there's 2 weeks left. There's a lot of big-time games, big-time football left to be played. It's just really
Indiana.
Hard.
What were we doing?
What were we doing? Of course. SIG.
Congratulations. 10 wins. First time.
10 wins. They're off the list.
There's two teams left.
Two teams left. They're off the list.
Who might that be?
Well,
enlighten us.
We'll get into it later.
Okay. Sorry.
And so it just illustrates the fact that, man, is it hard to win? It doesn't matter who you are. You look across the country this weekend. Undefeated BYU. They are still one of the remaining teams. The Holy War, Grant. Some are saying
it was exhilarating. I'm going to be honest.
Some are saying that Utah got screwed, mostly just the Utah AD.
Yeah. I mean, they could have tried like not punting six times in a row. That would have been that probably would have solved all the issues. But hey, I mean, I don't know. I think it's crazy, by the way, that you can get fined for just complaining as an AD.
I do too.
Like that, he got fined. I think it was like $40,000.
Yeah.
Like why can't coaches or player? The Utah AD was complaining about that holding call at the press conference, and I think he got fined like $40,000 or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Maybe he makes $1 million, but like, can you imagine getting fined 4% of your salary?
That would be a tough hit for your boy. I would not be happy about that. It's you know, they hold on in the holy war. What did Georgia Tech just beat Miami? I mean, Miami was one of those undefeated teams going into this week. It's just really hard to win. Even in the games that you go in and all the fans are on paper, they're looking at and they're saying, you know what? We're supposed to win this game. Whatever that means. We're supposed to win this game, Kevin Ward. As a Hawkeye fan, it's Friday night. We're getting ready for kickoff. Hawks are back in the Rose Bowl. Yeah, they might have got their ass kicked against Stanford and Christian Jesus McCaffrey in 2016, but we're supposed to win this game. And then, you know what? The other team has 11 guys that are on scholarship too. And they're trying hard and they want to win. And it's just really hard to win consistently. Another team close to home figuring that out the last 2 weeks, Iowa State. They would have been on that list a couple weeks ago, no longer. Another list they're not on is the AP Top 25. They've dropped themselves out of the rankings. I believe they're the first out right now. Fighting for their life in the big to get to the Big 12 championship when they were the front runner 2 weeks ago. So, and I'm not making excuses by any means. Yes, there's always going to be a team that is supposed to win. That's why there's spreads. Iowa favored in this game by, I'm not even sure what it was, by kickoff.
Almost a touchdown.
But there's a lot of factors. And I think that when people think of teams that are supposed to win, or this is, I think the gap between teams and potential outcomes is actually a lot thinner than people imagine it is in their mind. Things can go different ways. And we saw that on Friday. Iowa loses to UCLA, basically gets dominated.
Oh, yeah.
The score did not feel
this like this game could have easily been way out of hand earlier.
Yeah. And just a really confusing game, I think, on all fronts, Kevin. Maybe you can speak to it here, give your thoughts. But just a week after
6 days.
6 days after dominating Wisconsin, running all over them. And I understand UCLA's got a top 15, top 10 running defense. But just dominate. I mean, 300-plus yards against a Big Ten Wisconsin defense. Sure, they're not the old Wisconsin, maybe, but you go out to UCLA and it looks like you can't do a damn thing.
Yeah, no, they I was actually really impressed. They played real hard on defense. Like, they're a tough physical team, and they basically had the mindset of, we're gonna make Brendan Sullivan beat us this game. They were either gonna let him beat him with his arm, and I don't know if you noticed on all the zone reads, they're like, make him pull it.
Yep.
We want the ball in Brendan Sullivan's hands, not Caleb Johnson's hands. And, you know, also, I don't know if they were thinking this too, but in hindsight, it's like, they have a fifth string quarterback behind him. Like, this guy can't be running the ball 20 times a game. So
there was, if he does, what happened was what was going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. So there was like, make Brendan Sullivan beat us. I mean, it's a good game plan. Good game plan. And they played hard.
And that they did play hard. I echo your sentiment there on what it on the effort coming out of UCLA's defense. They were flying around. They were motivated. They clearly felt a sense of urgency. They were juiced up, and they brought a intensity and aggression defensively that we were not able to match offensively at all. And that was compounded by the fact that Brendan Sullivan runs enough times with his head not on a swivel, but he's got to be a little bit more aware. And maybe this was a wake-up call kind of game for him. He took some shots.
Especially knowing who you got behind you. I mean,
that, yes.
Honestly, Jackson's What's his name? Stratton?
Stratton. Props
way, to this guy. Way over achieved expectations.
Oh, my God.
I was thrilled with what we got out of Jackson Stratton being thrown into that game.
Kid came out slinging. He's like, screw it, dude. I'm throwing this thing.
But I mean, I love the competitiveness out of Sullivan, but like, dude, you got to know, like, you are so important to the game. Like, you cannot get hurt.
Yeah. And God, I don't know if Grant, if we talked about that, I do so many podcasts now each week that I can't remember who I had the conversation with. It might've been Eicholt. And we were talking about how nice it will be, assuming Brendan Sullivan's the guy the next 3 to 4 games. This was last week. How nice it will be to have Cade as your backup relative to what we've been through the last couple of years, where we're just not confident in our backup quarterback. Like, Cade as a backup quarterback feels pretty good. Like, got a good handle on the offense. He's competent. He's not going to do like a ton of stupid stuff. And we realize how bad we needed a true experienced like guy who's taken reps in practice, Cade especially in game. Man, it was tough. And like you said, Kev, props to the Stratton kid. Oh my God.
He was
God.
Playing scout team linebacker last week.
Yeah, and I think it's funny. People hear that and they think, wait a second. We have a linebacker playing. No. Kid's a quarterback. I was asked this question by several people who are kind of like fringe football fans. It's like, yes, he was playing scout team linebacker. The reason why is because the one and the two quarterback, first string, second string, they're going to get reps on the offensive side of the field. They split the field in practice, right?
Maybe the third string's over there too.
Occasionally.
Rarely.
Yeah. Then the third and the fourth string sometimes, mostly just the third string quarterback, is going to be the starting scout team quarterback that's going against the first team defense, right? So Jay Higgins, which by the way, that brings up another thing that happened in this game. We lost Jay for I don't know how much of it, half of it, more than half.
Yeah, before halftime.
That hurts, and it's not great. Now, our defense really did fine, but we'll get to it in a second. So Stratton as the fourth or fifth guy on the roster, there's nothing for him to do. So in practice, and this is especially going to be the case when they have a roster limit of 105. I can't even imagine, like, all those specialists, Kev, they're back on kickoff team.
In practice. I mean, you just need bodies, right? You need bodies to run the scout team.
You got to have bodies. So what they do is they say, hey, Stratton, you're not getting any reps, even on the scout team. Come on over to the offensive side of the field. You're going to play scout team linebacker. Kid's a body, right? He's not a small kid. He's got a decent size frame. I think he's like 6'3", 6'4".
6'4", 195.
Yeah. Hey, play outside linebacker for us. You're going to be Joe Blow from UCLA this week. And you're going to run, you know, you're going to give us a look. So that's what he was doing in practice. I think he was even asked a question like, hey, how much time with the offense did you really get? And he's like, to be honest, like not at all. Like the last couple of weeks.
As a fifth string quarterback, like, you don't even get reps in like camp.
No, you might not even be invited to camp.
They had on Twitter this week, when it was announced that Stratton was the backup, they had people breaking down like the Zapruder film footage of him at one of the practices, like throwing on a sideline to see like what is going on. Like, who is this guy? Like, has anyone seen him pick up a football before? Like, super shaky, like blurry camera. Like, we think this is Jackson Stratton.
It looked like the JFK video. It was like from the 60s.
A little less.
The craziest thing is, though, is like he gets thrown into that situation and he looks better than anything we put on tape last year.
Dude, can you imagine you're in the Rose Bowl for a Division I Hawkeye football team and you're like, hey, buddy, worst case scenario has become reality. You're in.
Well, thank God for these guys that they have the radio in the walkie-talkie and the helmets. Like, guy might not even know the signals,
dude. For real, I would. That's a great question. If somewhere down the line Jackson Stratton ends up on this podcast, would love to have him. Hey, if you're listening, Scooby or Shaggy, he might as well be Scooby. Call him either one.
Roro,
Roro. You think that's what he thought when he was going in? Roro.
That's what.
Someone should have tweeted that gif when he went into the game the other night. That would have done numbers. That would have been numbies. So
Travis did not do numbies.
And can one of Which, by the way, Grant, you had some good tweets.
I'm flattered.
You always have good tweets. I think honestly, you're one of the best follow. Like, I think you're a fantastic follow. Bias. You tweeted something like, "Tim, I think Tim Lester can unlock Jackson Stratton." Or something.
Look, I was doing a lot of thinking. I was up late on Friday night thinking about the game. Given the sample size of what we've seen, the ceiling is forever up. Like, he did so good with nothing.
It's way up
like,
there.
I mean, if that's the worst he's ever going to be, no. Sure.
Good point.
That's all I'm saying. Just give him the sample size.
Can you imagine that this week, depending on – and I don't –
thank
I don't
God
know
if, for a bye week.
Well, that's true. Thank God for a second bye week. We need it. And that's – again, we mentioned this earlier in the season too. Like, injuries are – I mean, especially to your quarterback and the quarterback of the defense in Jay Higgins. I mean, goddamn, right? That sucks. You got the guys with the green stickers both getting hurt in the same game. And the one guy is already your second string. Oh, and by the way, your third string broke his thumb last week. And like, tough, tough situation. Again, no excuses. No excuses, because there were plenty of chances for us to go and win this ball game.
Yeah, just, you know, not turn it over three times or.
And that's what I wanted to mention. And I don't know how many hits it took Brendan Sullivan to start feeling shaky and uneasy out there, and if that affected some of the later turnovers. But the first interception was bad. He bought some time. He threw it late over the middle and
across his body. Yep.
And what happens when you throw it late over the middle? It's an interception. Such a high percentage of the time. And the reason for that is because you've now given the defense a second to settle in. The receivers are no longer in their routes, so they're not being chased. Everybody's just kind of waiting there. And usually when you throw it back across the middle of the field, you are throwing it based on visual data that you do not have a full picture of. And that is exactly.
Like, as you're rolling out to one side, you're bringing the whole defense with you, and throwing it back that way, you're throwing it into like a mess.
You're throwing it into traffic. Yeah. You're throwing it into against the grain of the defense. So guy steps in front, easy pick, tough one. Then again, love the aggression, Sully, but he puts it down, he pulls it down, he goes for a run, and
Kid kind of made a good play on this.
Kid made a great play. You know, he punches at the ball, strips it out, it freaking lands right in his lap, and he kind of starts to run the other way. It's like, dang, Sully's getting just – and you applaud the effort, right? But, man, it started to go downhill fast. And then, I don't know, there was another one in there. I think we threw another pick at some point.
Yeah, it's the second drive in the second half.
So,
yeah, that was – I don't know what he's trying to do with that one, but he throws it at the ground and the guy picks it off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They have a good – that linebacker was good. And he made a good play. Diving back kind of against his momentum.
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
This is Leah Pesha, and I've been saying, hit a deer, call Premier, for years. But it's time for something new. It's still where you need to go for deer divots and door dings, as well as damaged dashboards. That's what my dad Nathan's driving at and dreams about. Why not say, when your car is dinged, be a deer and call Premier? I think Dad's going to love that. Premier Automotive, North Liberty's premier auto body repair shop.
Be a deer and call Premier Auto Body in North Liberty.
And then I think shortly after that, Sully leaves the game and it's Stratton time. So,
and Stratton goes on a 13-play, 61-yard touchdown drive.
Leads a fucking touchdown drive, dude.
After insane. He threw that pass to the goal line, I was thinking to myself, I was like, he's the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. this is incredible. He's just got natural instinct.
Did you happen to tweet at all during the game? You might have. I might have missed it, or I think I saw it, I was in a dream. Jackson Stratton, you are a Denver Bronco.
I had people calling for it before I could even tweet it. They were like, this is the most – he is a Denver Bronco.
Except bonus tough one for the Broncos today. Pour one out for Denver. Yeah, I mean, I just I don't know if I have I you can't blame it on the trip, right? You can't. There's no excuses. You can't blame it on the trip. A Friday night game. I know it's not ideal, but you got to play the games when they're scheduled against who they're scheduled. And Iowa looked great. They've been on this roller coaster. We thought we finally might have gotten off of that thing after Sully came in against Northwestern. We ran away with the thing, and then we bullied Wisconsin at home. It looks like a good win opportunity in the Rose Bowl against UCLA, and it just didn't materialize.
Yeah, you know, the defense didn't have a great game. This is, you know, this is a game that last year's defense wins for us, but we're not last year's defense this year. Like, they got beat in line of scrimmage. We're not as solid on the back end. And, you know, if we didn't have three turnovers kind of bail us out, UCLA puts up 40 points this game.
And true. I didn't even think about that. Like, we matched them turnover for turnover, and it's still – and that's the
– And they also had 84 yards of penalties.
Yeah, it's just – yeah, it's unfortunate. Actually, you know what's really sad too is with a down game, Caleb Johnson now – tied for second with UCF's RJ Harvey, 1,328 yards. Gentee over 400 yards more than both of those second place running backs.
Damn near impossible to win the Heisman on a 4-loss team.
Yeah, no,
you probably don't even get invited anymore.
No, I would say, unfortunately, if we're going to talk about that, KJ's. Attempt or season to try and make it to New York is done.
Campaign,
that is the correct word. Thank you, Grant. Reason being, he was already a long shot, probably not a long shot, but it was going to be tough. Quarterback award for the most part, unless you start doing stuff like he/Gentee was doing this year. Hard for them to take two running backs to that. And when you're then on a team that's not even, there's 2 weeks left and you're far removed from the playoff talk, and you had a game where you only had, I don't know, what did he have, 50 or 60 yards on Friday? I mean, it's just, that's done. He's still incredible. It takes nothing away from him, but it is what it is.
Can you really penalize Caleb for this game where for the whole second half they know that there's a scout team linebacker playing quarterback and that, like, it's probably safe to just load up?
You certainly don't penalize him.
I mean, they were doing that in the first half, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, credit to us. Like, we took advantage of it on a couple of plays. Like, you know, we threw that bubble and we got a little chunk play there. We threw a nice deep ball to Gill. And it's just we're not consistent enough in doing that stuff, type of stuff, to make them honor that stuff. And they was like, all right, you got a couple. We don't believe you can do it for the whole game. And
right.
That was their game plan. It's like, if you guys beat us that way, congratulations. Kudos to you. We're not going to let Caleb Johnson and your ground game beat us.
And maybe we are able to do that. Like, if on another night, if Sully doesn't take a couple of those bad hits and we don't make a couple of those tough turnovers that he had, man, the kid was looking good. That bomb to Gill. Bruh.
Beautiful.
When is the last time we saw Cade first game of last year to Seth Anderson, right? That was probably the closest we've had to a long, successful, like,
Cade had one versus the North, I think it was also to Gill versus Northwestern.
Okay.
He had a diving catch on.
That shit was beautiful. Gill had 130.
Yeah.
Unbelievable receiving game for an Iowa Hawkeye receiver. I mean, that's what we've been looking for. He's an amazing player. I love what we have with Jacob Gill. I love what we have with him. I like what we have with our receiving core. We just have to balance and find a little bit of consistency, a little bit of fluidness to our overall play and how we come out. And that's just something that's been, it's the calling card of this year's team. I mean, they're a 6-4 ball club.
It hurts more when you have high expectations.
Absolutely. And
what was the Vegas line for this team? Was it 8.5?
I think it was 7.5.
Seven and a half.
which usually looks like over the past 10 years, it looks like really like 7.5. You're going to give me that easy money right now. That's looking like a fantastic line.
How do they always know?
It's going to come down to the Nebraska game. Probably
you are going to have to go to Maryland and win a game that you're supposed to win on paper, right? Anybody can beat anybody. This is not an Iowa team that you think that you're going to chalk this Maryland game up for. And then you're going to play a Nebraska team that could likely be fighting for bowl eligibility.
Yep, because they are 5-4, and they need a win either versus USC, which they are 10-point dogs. Then they're home versus Wisconsin. I got to imagine they'll be favored. And then Probably. They go to Iowa.
Yeah. So it could be a battle of just six and the biggest, best fought battle between a 6-7 win ball club that you might have seen in all of your life. That's going to be a tough one. It's for a trophy. They're always going to come in and make it tough. That's a rivalry game. Like, it just is what it is. Kind of a weird thing, too. Like, we've won two of the three trophies this year. If not for a 50-some yard field goal, we're 3-0 in trophy games. That's usually a good – you know, KF always used to say, hey, if we win our trophy games, there's a good chance we're having a pretty good season.
Yep.
And, you know, we did lose one of them. But, like, damn, this is just a weird year. I looked up our defensive ranking. It's not horrible, right? It isn't top 10 like we're accustomed to these last few years. Everyone knows that. The eye test tells you that. Yards per game, we are 26th in the country. We only give up 320 yards a game, but it's just, it's not like the Iowa defenses of the last few years where we're giving up 260, 270.
Well, I think that stat's probably very skewed. Like, you have a lot of games where we're letting up less than 300, you know, low 200s. Sure. And yeah, a couple games where it's 400 plus, like the Michigan State game, this last game, Ohio State.
Yeah, basically those three games. Yeah. It really is a tale of two games for the Hawks. It's like, it's going to go one way or it's going to go the other. It's just a very weird, and I don't understand as a former player, not that a long snapper would have good insight to this, but like, I don't have an answer to those listening of like, why, what could possibly be the explanation of how they can look so good and then look so bad? I promise you they're doing the same prep every week. They're watching generally the same amount of film on each team. They're trying just as hard. They're playing. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I do know this, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong. Is UCLA maybe a little bit overlooked?
100%. They are an improving team by far. They are the team that we played is not the team that started the beginning of the year. They're
have you looked at UCLA's losses too?
That's what I'm getting at. I saw this graphic. UCLA, this like team that like, oh, I mean, Grant, you and I had them in they were our last team in the Big Ten. Our Big Ten rankings on the Patreon podcast, our power ratings, they were 17th or 18th. Looking at
their schedule, geez.
Look at their football team this year, their losses are to
undefeated Indiana.
Undefeated Indiana, LSU.
Good LSU. Number one Oregon.
Number six Penn State. And then
they had Minnesota on the ropes.
And then Minnesota.
Minnesota comes back and wins it in the last minute of the game.
The combined record, I think, of the teams they've lost to is something like 31-6 or 33. And it's like,
if LSU is the worst team you lose to, then that's Minnesota, technically, but you get the point.
I think this UCLA team, their reputation and what Iowa fans and even I got suckered into going into this game, I think they're a lot better than what we thought they were. Now, that doesn't
this guy's first year coaching them, right?
I believe so.
First year. Yeah.
They've just rattled off three wins in a row.
All the momentum.
Yeah. I mean, and from what this is the only game I've actually watched of UCLA. They play hard.
They play hard. Like, and they've got some dudes on that defense. Like, they've got some Penn State look great in uniform dudes. I don't know. It was a tough one. And you know what, Grant? It's even tougher when you got to stay up till 11 p.m.
you felt super punished.
I was not happy about it. I had a CrossFit competition yesterday, Saturday, and I had to be there at like 7 a.m. And I stayed up till 11 p.m. to watch this bullshit.
Hey man, so you know, you're getting paid to watch football. Can't be that bad.
Everybody's got issues, man. And mine is having to stay up past 10 p.m. to watch football games.
I know this is a late one for East Coast Hawkeye fans. If you got, I know a couple guys moved down to Florida after graduation. This game's ended at night. Yeah, this game's late.
That's an absolute no. I'll tell you this: if I lived on the East Coast and we were doing like, I would have recorded the game. And the first thing I would have done was when I got home the next day, I wouldn't have checked my phone. I would have just watched it the next day. I promise you that's what I would have done. There's no way I'm staying up till midnight to watch a football game. And I know that's absolutely absurd from a guy who owns a football podcast. And Grant, that's like every Thursday, Friday, Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, you're just missing out on the Pac-12, some of the Big 12, like this weekend. You're just Hawaii, never going to see them play. No. Schrager, you're never going to see the Schrager.
For all I know, Hawaii doesn't even have a football team. They just that's all propaganda.
They're not that. They're kind of. I mean, they're building something there.
I don't think they are with the rainbows. I doubt they are.
I mean, speaking of though, the two time zone thing in the Big Ten rears its head again.
Again, and people knew that was going to happen. Like that is, it's a tough thing to do. You just get a little bit wonky. One day is not enough to really smack jet lag in the face and feel a rhythm when you get to a new, like a time zone two or three time zones away for some of these teams. And I'd love to know what the updated record for that is on the traveling team. I don't know what it was. At one point it was like 14-2, the home team on the cross country trip was winning. So, I mean, it got Ohio State. I mean, Ohio State went out to Eugene. Now, Oregon's number one team in the country could be a national champion here in a couple months. But, I mean, it's tough. Don't have a lot more to say. Do we have a collision of the game? The guy who hit Brendan Sullivan? I mean, Jesus Christ.
I would say the freight train that just hit the Iowa Hawkeye ecosystem. Egos? I don't know.
I think I remember Jamari having a pretty loud one.
Jamari came up and cut down the receiver's legs. He went through the receiver's legs on a quick out ball and made an incredible play. I'll give Jamari's helmet into that receiver's shins, the premier automotive collision of the game. I don't know. I mean, I don't have a lot much more to say. I mean, we're going into a bye week. It doesn't feel good, Kev, to sit on this for 2 weeks.
Would have felt a lot better coming off three wins going into bye with, you know, looking at a 9-3 season.
Seven and three going into a bye on a three-game win streak. You feel good about that?
Yep.
6-4 sitting on a loss for 2 weeks.
Don't feel good about that.
And losing just puts one more chip in that confidence that you take into the last two games. I mean, it's a totally different thing. Not that 9-3 or 8-4 are totally different at the end of the year, but they're in a tough spot and injuries, like Kevin said, it's a great time for a bye week.
Do we know what, like, I mean, Cade, what is concussed, right? 2 weeks ago, he didn't even make the trip
in the Northwestern game. And he still couldn't make the trip this weekend. Yeah. Bam. I have to imagine he's back this week.
Hope so.
You would think. I don't think Sullivan has any legitimate, like, long-term injuries, but or is he concussed too? I don't know.
I heard an ankle sprain.
Ankle sprain? So that isn't great. I mean, not good for the mobility of our mobile quarterback, our new mobile quarterback.
Could be Jackson wrong.
Stratton's pretty fast. That's all.
Stratton looks great.
Stratton's kind of fast. I don't know.
What if we just put Stratton out there and we just turn this into like a, I mean, could be fun.
I love him, but I think I'd want Brendan Sullivan right now.
Or Cade. Yeah, we got to get healthy. I don't know what Jay Higgins did.
Pulled a hamstring.
Hamstring?
Yeah, you could see it. He pulled up, and for some reason, he went back in the game. Like, dude, hamstrings don't get better. You can't tape up a hamstring like you can an ankle or a wrist or something. Like, he looked real bad that next series he went in. Thankfully, they pulled him for good. But, maybe he's back for Maryland. We'll see.
Hopefully. I mean, we're at that point where
what's up with Lachey? I mean, I thought I didn't even hear his name called. I thought I don't know if he was technically active or not, but
I have no idea. I have no idea. But all that health we had through about 5 or 6 weeks of this season, KF talking about, yeah, this could be the healthiest we've ever been at this point. Congrats. We caught up. It's caught up to us.
It caught up.
Did you see the QB graphic they threw up during the game?
Of the four and their and the reasons why they were out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But who's our fourth string even?
I think it's...
I guess... There you go. So okay. He technically is our fourth string?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't it Mr. Rissar, and then he moved to receiver.
Ah. Ah, there yes. you go. That was correct. That was correct. Out with concussion, injured at practice. Brennan was starting. Ended up...
He is straight up Shaggy. I mean, holy cow.
Yeah, I mean, that's Shaggy. I don't know. I don't know. We could do some sick NIL stuff with Jackson Stratton, though, if he wants to do some Shaggy merch, some wash up, walk on Shaggy merch.
Hey, we got to walk in, walk on in at quarterback. Never thought
that's, I'd that's that. Huge for the brand, dude.
Huge for the brand.
Let's go. Come on now. Jackson will be in touch.
Say, I'm not sure he's a listener, but. DM us.
It'll get back to him.
All right. Let's recap the bets and get out of here.
Yep. What do we got, Grant? I had a tough weekend. It was just my one bet that I thought was the worst one of the weekend, Ole Miss. They go out and outright win by like 2.5 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns.
I was so nervous though because Jackson Dart.
He went out after the first series.
First series gets hurt and throws a pick. Same
play. We have a better Jackson, so that's all that matters. They end up not only covering 2.5, they piss-pounded Georgia. I mean, the SEC is chaos now as well. Iowa State, we mentioned it, they dropped their second in a row. They cannot take care of Kansas in Arrowhead Stadium.
3 losses in a row to Kansas, that's tough.
A 2-5 ball club coming into yesterday, and they made Kansas's offense look like Johnny Manziel at A&M.
I do want to point out, it is kind of funny that every time you pick Nebraska and Iowa State,
they always fuck me.
The gambling gods just punish you for it.
Every
I just want to point
time,
that out. No comment never, further. I just want to point it out.
I'll just put it on record right now. I said I'll never bet on Nebraska earlier this year as far as them straight up in a spread. I'm adding Iowa State to that list. And you know what? Minnesota, another fuck rival, them. A trophy yeah. game. Fuck them all. Okay. Minnesota goes and loses to Rutgers. Cali Akmanis, revenge game.
Cali Akmanis. Yeah. He's having a solid season. I kind of like
God him. Damn it. So UCLA, Iowa, over 45? No. Minnesota -6? Get their ass beat. Iowa State -3? Get their ass beat. Thanks, Ole Miss. You're the only one that's redeemed me this weekend. I went 1-3. Total record goes to 23-19. Somebody else talk about it.
Yeah, I had that Minnesota game too. God, I hate you, PJ Fleck, with all of my passion in my heart. They can't get it done. And then I had the unders in the Michigan-Indiana game and Georgia-Ole Miss game. They comfortably hit the under, so 2-1.
Okay, we went 7-4, solid weekend. And I would like to point out, by the way, that percentage-wise, all of us are profitable currently. We're all over 52% still. We're all doing pretty good.
We'll take that.
Yeah, Kansas had them there. Georgia Tech, outright win over Miami, finally. They were trolling them last year for the
Miami and Iowa State, like, feel like very similar teams. Like, great records, but really have gotten away with a few wins there that they probably shouldn't have.
I don't know if you guys watched the Georgia Tech-Miami game. It was fun. It was really fun.
It's a great game. Fun. Yeah. Cam Ward, though, seriously, I mean, like his entire Heisman campaign is based off just bailing this team out week after week. What else do we have in there? Texas Tech. I love the tortilla toss, but they lost to Colorado. That was unfortunate. Utah, late at night. They ended up losing, but covered anyway, so I'll take it. Very good. West Virginia, I finally was able to get a win with them after like 200 tries, so that was good. North Texas, boy, they were close. They had 2 chances in the red zone to cover this game. They threw interceptions both times, and then this is unrelated, but Army had a 21-play, 94-yard, 14-minute possession at one point.
That is just a thing of beauty.
to possess the ball on one drive for an entire quarter – is orgasmic.
And I'm going to be honest, if I remember, I don't know if they threw the ball a single time.
That's incredible.
It's just amazing. I was disappointed the committee only ranked them 25th this week. I hope that they improve a little bit on that after watching just pure dominance.
Agreed.
Such as there. And then Missouri, crazy comeback win against Oklahoma. They should have lost like three different times, ended up doing it. But then, yeah, Virginia Tech, not very good. ULM, General Booty didn't even play. That was the whole point.
And yeah, General Booty, man.
I had zero clue. I don't think he's played in like 2.5 weeks. I had zero idea. But yeah, I don't know. We'll take it. Fine week. I don't know if there's like a favorite game. I don't know that. Boy, that Georgia Tech game was fun.
It was fun.
Do you know if anyone's even tailing these anymore? Like, I remember back when we first started doing it, people would tail us. Is anyone out there?
I'm sure someone out there. I'm sure there's several people out there that are like secretly like, all right, here's the picks for this week. What am I throwing down?
I get my boy, shout out Birds of Prey. Every once in a while, will send me a parlay of just every single pick.
Love that. One of these days, brother. One of these days. Last note.
All three of us or just you?
I think just me, usually. But I don't know. Maybe if check your DMs, you could have one win from Birds of Prey.
Potentially. So. One last note before we leave here. Iowa women's basketball in action. Got a nice little dub over Virginia Tech in the, I don't know if it's the Ally Classic or whatever, down there in North Carolina. So shout out to the women. Fun to watch them play. Weird not seeing Caitlin out there, but just a lot of new faces, a lot of new opportunities for the women this year under Jan Jensen. So go Hawks on that one. We'll be back. If you're on the Patreon, which I'll throw up on the screen right now, we're going to do a podcast on Tuesday, as we always do. Wednesday, I'll be there with Eicholt. Thursday, we'll preview. Oh, God. Thursday, we won't preview anything. It's a bye week. We're going to figure out what the scheduling looks like this week. 5-10-5 show will be there on Friday with Coach Lima. A lot of good feedback on that through the first two-thirds of this season. We'll talk to you at those times. Till then. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.